That's good. God bless you.
And it's our pleasure to have Brother Gamblin with us. Of course, this is the last night for a while, unless he gets snowed in tonight. But we just thank God that God has allowed us to have him one more time. And I think you've enjoyed him tremendously. And no need of delaying the service any longer. We came here tonight to hear this man preach to us. Let's stand together. Praise God. Lift your hands high and honor God and praise Him for His goodness and for His love. Father, we love You forever. We
praise
You for
God.
Your goodness. Bless Brother Gamblin as He blesses us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give us the Word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Some time ago, an older brother said to me, when you get to be an old preacher, you're just discarded. Nobody wants to hear you. That's not true. If you've got the message and the blessing, they want to hear you. And this man's got the blessing and got the word and the ability.
God bless him, Brother Gamblin. Well, praise the Lord. Are you happy tonight? Glory. How many know you're really happy? Praise God. I have enjoyed being here so much. Enjoyed the kindness and the hospitality of Brother and Sister Rutledge. They treated me so good, until when I go home, I'm going to expect this same kind of treatment out of my folks. It's been so good, and I have enjoyed being with you. You are such a beautiful people, such a wonderful church, such a nice building, but yet the building does not make the church.
Amen.
It's the people that come here. You are such a wonderful people. And before we start with the tape, I'd like to just say a word or two. I want to preach tonight. Now, it probably won't be like it was the other three nights. I want to preach a message to this church.
All right.
And I'd like to say this in the beginning. If you will take what I have to say based upon Scripture, you will not know your church 3 months from tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll have a lot of these vacant pews filled with people if you listen to me tonight. Not because I'm going to preach it, but because it's going to be Scripture. Exact Scripture.
Amen.
And I love Scripture.
Amen.
I said, I love Scripture. I love the Word of God, because the Word of God will save you now, and it'll keep you, and it'll save you in the end. Let's lift our hands and thank God for the Word tonight. Thank God for the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read tonight from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Luke chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 15. At verse number 15 in Luke chapter 4. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written,
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
Amen.
To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now I want to turn tonight for a text in the 147th division of the book of Psalms, reading verses 2 and 3. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel.
Hallelujah.
He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds.
Hallelujah.
I want to preach tonight from this subject. Search for the wounded.
Hallelujah.
Search for the wounded. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. In our text, we read that the Lord gathered the outcast when he went to build up Jerusalem. He gathered the outcast. He came to heal the broken heart and binding up the wounds. When we can believe and understand, the church is not a body of angels. We are not angels. The church is not an angelic body. The church is a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Those that make up the church are those that came out of sin, that came out of darkness, and they came to the light, they came to Jesus. And he bound up their wounds and he healed their broken heart. Now I'm concerned with the binding up of the wounds. I'm concerned about the healing of the soul.
Sure.
Now a lot of people, all they want from God is physical healing. But my desire for God goes deeper than to have my body healed.
Amen.
I want my inward man healed.
I
want my soul restored. I want my spirit healed. I want the wounds. I want those bound up.
Amen.
I want to have inward healing.
Hallelujah.
If we had somebody here tonight that could pray for the sick, and everybody would walk out of here healed, you never would get praying or get through praying for the people. They're all seeking something that they can live a little longer, get rid of their aches and their pains, and get rid of their sickness.
Amen.
I dealt with a doctor one time, and he had cancer. And he was not going to live, so they said. He asked everybody in the country to pray for him. Finally came my time. I went to his office, and we went in the back room. He got on his knees. I never saw a man pray so in earnest. The tears dripped off of his face on the floor. But when we had finished with our prayer, he stood up. Now he said, all I want from the Pentecostals is my healing. I don't want anything else they have. He died. He didn't get his healing. Now people are concerned about a physical healing. Something to live on without any aches and pains. But I am concerned more about the healing of the soul, the binding up of the wounds, the healing of the broken heart, the deliverance of the captive, to bring men and women into a knowledge of truth that will set you free where you can worship God in the beauty of holiness. Did you know that we're all going to die? You may come in this room tonight with an incurable disease, get healed and walk out and shout because you're healed. But somewhere down the road and around the next bend, something is going to take you out of this life. If you get healed tonight, it's only a temporary thing. But if you get your soul saved and the inward man healed and your heart healed and these wounds are all bound up, that's something that will take you right on into eternity and on and on and on to live with Jesus Christ. If somebody could come up with a vitamin that would reverse the aging process, you'd be rich overnight. And I see a lot of older folks in this room tonight, and I see a lot of young people. You young people are going to get old too one day. And we older people, we are going to get older. So we have nothing to stop the process of aging. And there are three ways to know if you get old. Number one, that's when your knees will buckle and your belt won't.
Yeah.
And number two, when you bend over to tie your shoe, you wonder if there's anything else you ought to do while you're already down there. And number three, when it takes you longer to rest than it did to get tired. So you know you're on your journey to be an older person. But I have a message for you tonight. Jesus came to do a whole lot more than to heal a few people in His ministry, to raise a few people from the dead. He came to do more than that. He said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. That's why He came. And I want to tell you tonight, the power of the gospel is still the same. The power of the gospel is still the same. He's still able to reach out and heal the inward man, to bind up the wounds, and to heal the broken heart, to heal the sinful spirit, and make you a brand new creature in the kingdom of God. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. The newness of life. The newness of life. I'm concerned with the binding up of the wounds. I want to give you something to think about tonight. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus spoke a parable. And He said that a man fell among thieves on his road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They robbed him, stripped him, and left him half dead in the road. Now there was a priest came by. That priest had been to Jerusalem to perform an act of worship. But when he saw his fellow man in the dust of the road, stripped, robbed, and half dead, he gathered his religious garments about him and walked around on the other side.
That's right.
He passed by on the other side. Then a Levite came. When he looked and saw the man, wounded, stripped, robbed, half dead, he gathered his religious garments about him, and he passed by on the other side.
Right.
But here is where I like to preach. A Samaritan came. He was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. The Bible said he went to where the man was.
Right.
I didn't go to where Jesus was. He came to where I was.
Yeah.
I love to preach about that tonight. I didn't go where he was. He came to where I was.
Amen.
In sin he came to us.
That's right.
He came when we were lost in sin. He came to promote redemption and to bring salvation and freedom. That's what he came to do. I said, that's what he came to do.
Amen.
He was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. And the scripture said that he had compassion on the man.
Give us compassion.
That's almost a word that people have forgotten all about.
Amen.
Is the word compassion. The Bible said on one occasion that Jesus looked out and saw a multitude. He likened them as a sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible said he was moved with compassion. If we've ever needed to be moved with compassion, to look upon the needs of the world, we have what the world needs tonight. I said the church has what the world needs tonight. It's healing, redemption, the healing of the broken hearts, the binding up of the wounds. He came to set the captives free.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yes, he did. I said, yes, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
The Samaritan had compassion on the man.
Amen.
He bound up his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine,
Amen.
Set him on his beast, and took him to an inn. And he told the man to take care of him.
Yes.
And I want to say this tonight. Jesus did not fulfill his mission on earth. He went with his mission till he died. But before he ascended to heaven, he gave that commission to the church.
Right.
And this commission won't be finished until we stand in the presence of his eternal glory. Jesus said, I cannot live with you in this present state forever. It's expedient. And the word expedient means necessary. It's necessary that I go away. But if I go away, I'll send you another comforter that will abide with you forever. I said, I'm going to give into your hands my mission. That mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Did you know the church needs to have an infilling of a spirit of compassion?
Right. Amen.
I know we quote Romans 8 and 9 so many times to prove that it takes the spirit of Christ to be saved.
Amen.
In Romans 8 and 9, he said, without the spirit of Christ, we're none of his. What kind of spirit did he have? I'm going to get next to you right now. What kind of spirit did he have? He had a spirit of compassion.
Right.
There were many charges they hurled at Jesus. Some were true and some were not.
Amen.
But the two charges they hurled at Christ was absolutely true. They said, he receiveth sinners.
Right.
They said, he eateth with sinners.
Right.
He rubbed shoulders with sinners. That's who he came to save. It's sinners that have been redeemed by his blood that makes up the body of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
If we're to fulfill the mission of Jesus, we've got to go in the highways and the byways.
Sure.
People that are living on your street, behind closed doors tonight, they're wounded. They're bruised. They're brokenhearted. They are in captivity, just waiting for somebody to knock on that door and say, I have a message of healing for your soul. I have a physician that measures in broken hearts, binding up the wounds, and giving you joy and peace in your heart. That's what I'm talking about tonight. It's not fair to come into this nice church and consume all of these blessings upon us without sharing it with the world. I saw a little sign in a church not long ago. It wasn't too big, but it was there. It said, no man has a right to hear the gospel twice until everybody has heard it once.
Amen.
We have a mission. I said, we have a mission to do.
Yes.
We have a mission. We have a calling. That mission and that calling is to reach those that are in captivity. To reach those that have been wounded and bruised and hurt or dying for the lack of inward healing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now Jesus explained his mission.
Amen.
He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, he didn't say, I've come to seek and save that which is lost, but I've come to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Communion with God.
Amen.
Fellowship with God.
Hallelujah.
That was lost in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Jesus came to restore that. He came with a message of soul restoration. I'm interested in that tonight. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he came to do. He's a life giver. He's the healer. I said, he's the healer.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen.
We glory in the fact that we see a miracle. Somebody lay down a walking cane or get out of a wheelchair. That's great. I wish we had more of it. But I'm preaching tonight to this church. What God laid on my heart for you tonight wounded, disappointed. They've turned to drink because they have nothing else to turn to. Jesus is a satisfying portion. I said He's a satisfying portion. His mission was, I've come to seek. If everybody in Pine Bluff, Arkansas was seeking Jesus Christ half as much as Jesus is seeking Pine Bluff, you'd have a revival in this church that never would come to a close. He's on a seeking mission. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Then he tells about another mission. He said the thief has a mission. The thief has come to kill and destroy. Let me serve notice on you tonight. The devil is not your friend. And I'm not his friend. And there is no love lost. He's a thief.
He is.
He's a robber. He will steal your virtue.
That's right.
He will steal your faith. He will steal your soul. And when he's through with you, he'll throw you on the junk heap over here. Because he's through with you. He's a thief. He's a robber. He will wound and he will kill. But Jesus said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to bind up the wounds.
Right. Hallelujah.
He'll steal your faith.
Amen.
If you let him. He'll steal your faith.
Amen.
If you lose your house, you can get another house. If you love if you lose your car, you can get another car. But when you lose your soul, that's all there is to lose.
That's right.
There's nothing else to lose.
Right.
You've got to handle your soul, not with a careless manner, but you've got to watch for your soul. The writer to the Hebrews put it like this. Nobody could have said it any better. He said, we are not of them that draw back, but we are of those that believe to the saving of the soul.
Right. Amen.
The devil would like to pump every bit of faith out of your spiritual system that he can tonight. He'd like to rob you and leave you half dead. But thank God, there is a healer I'm preaching about tonight.
Amen.
There's a healer.
Amen.
I know some of you, you never had to pray for food. In the early days, a lot of had to pray for food.
Right.
Let me say this tonight. This is an unthankful generation.
You're right.
Amen.
Did you know if you have a job, if you have a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food on your table, you ought to give thanks to God every day of your life.
That's right.
This is an unthankful generation.
Amen.
Very unthankful. I heard about the lady. She was praying for food. Now, you might not understand the type of food that she prayed for. She was praying for a bag of cornmeal. And she was not praying for a 16-ounce of bacon. She prayed for a side of meat. Now, maybe you don't know what that is. This, that's a half a hog. She prayed. There's a man in the community that wanted to have some fun out of her. So he went to town, bought a side of meat and a bag of cornmeal. Went behind her house and dropped it down the chimney. And when that hit the fireplace, you talk about a shout, she had a shout.
Yeah.
The Lord had answered her prayer. That was her faith. So she told everybody how God had met her needs. And the fellow let her go for a few days and then he went to her. And said, God never sent that to you. He said, he never answered your prayer. He said, I went to town and bought that, and I'm the one that dropped it down the chimney. That never dimmed her faith. She said, praise God. The Lord sent it, and the devil brought it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank God for faith tonight.
Amen.
Faith to believe.
Faith.
But the devil's a robber. He's a thief. He's a liar. He'd give anything to get a hold of all the young people in this church tonight and to drag you in the gutter somewhere. But keep your faith in Jesus. You are living the good life now. I said you are living the good life now.
Hallelujah.
So many wounded. I do not have a message of condemnation. You see, the sinner is already condemned. I don't walk up to a man and say, you're going to hell. You see, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
Throw out the bathwater and save the baby.
Right.
If you've got a dog that's got fleas, don't shoot the dog to kill the fleas. Give the dog a shampoo, kill the fleas, save the dog.
Right.
Don't send the sinner to hell. Bring him to the healing fountain. Let him get rid of his sin and save the sinner. That's what I'm preaching tonight. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of life eternal. It's a message of binding up the wounds and healing the broken hearts and setting the captives free. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. It's the duty of the preacher to preach. It's the duty of the congregation to bring in outsiders, relatives, kin people, friends, neighbors, whoever. People are just waiting for somebody to say, let me go to your church. Oh, hear me tonight. Listen, I'm preaching something. If you'll take what I'm preaching tonight, your pastor's going to call me in 3 months. And he's going to say that you made a great improvement in number.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I like numbers.
Yeah, I
just... When you preach to 500, you have an opportunity to save more than if you're preaching to 100.
Amen.
I love to see people being active in church.
Right.
Doing things for Jesus. Not consuming everything up on ourselves. Now really... Who caused these wounds in the beginning? Let's go back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, now he said, your job is to dress and keep this garden. But there's a tree out there. The day that you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Somebody said, my environment won't let me live for God. Who could have had a better environment than Lucifer? He was in heaven, in the very presence of Almighty God. But he got kicked out because rebellion arose in his heart.
Amen.
He had a good environment. Look at Adam and Eve. What an environment they had. It was really the paradise of God.
Right.
But you know, there's off limits.
Amen.
I might not get an amen on this, but there's off limits. God said... Don't eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you're going to die.
Right.
There are some things that are off limits to the child of God.
You're right. Amen. Amen.
There's nothing out there but darkness.
Amen.
And death. It's a strange thing to me, and I've often wondered about this. In the sports world, boxing, golf, basketball, football, baseball, they have a rule book. And when they disobey the rule book, they foul out. But when it comes to church, somebody says, oh no, I'm not going to church because I'm not going to have anybody to tell me what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look out now. You got a little clock that's by your bed that tells you when to get up,
amen,
when to go to bed, when to go to work, when to eat. And there's some gentlemen that drives up and down the highway that drive pretty cars, pretty lights on top.
Yeah.
They've got the authority around their waist. And when they tell you to stop, you'd better stop.
Right.
Oh, come on, everybody. Here's a rule book.
Amen.
You can foul out.
Uh-huh.
When God said don't do this, he means don't do that.
Right.
Then when he said do this, he means to do this. There's a rule book. Here it is right here. This is a book. To live by the book. To obey the book. To walk in the light of the book. You'll go to heaven just as sure as there's a heaven to go to. But because of disobedience, the entire human race was wounded. The Bible said by the sin of one. By the sin of one. Sin came. And it came by the sin of disobedience. The whole entire human race was wounded. And the devil will wound you. He will strip you. He will leave you half dead. He will take everything that's pure and holy out of your life. And then will laugh at you when you are dying and going to hell. Listen, let me tell you something, my friend. There is a real heaven. There's a real hell. There's a real devil. And there's a real God. And I'm glad the Bible tells me that Christ ascended to heaven and he has all power. All power in heaven and in earth. He has the keys of death and hell. Sometimes I believe there's an old mama devil around somewhere that's having little devils. There's devils everywhere. All kinds of spirits. Seducing spirits, the Bible said. And doctrines of devils. The devil has a doctrine. It's a devilish doctrine. But thank God for the doctrine of Jesus Christ that delivers men from the curse of sin and from the condemnation of sin. Oh, hallelujah. I shout tonight because I have victory in my soul.
Glory.
People are suffering tonight because of the sin of one man.
Right.
Sin. Sin will lead you astray.
Right.
There's a better way to live than to live in sin.
Amen.
There's a better way to die than to die in sin.
Right.
Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
That's the gospel I'm preaching tonight.
That's right.
It's a gospel of deliverance. It's a gospel of salvation.
Right.
It's a gospel of saving power. It's a gospel of keeping power.
Sure.
Oh, praise God. I thank him tonight for the power of the gospel.
Yes.
The wounds.
Yeah.
People are suffering tonight.
Amen.
Broken hearts. There's so many homeless people. Right. Driving down the highways now, you pass people with a little bag on the shoulder. Probably a sleeping bag, maybe something in their hand. They'll sleep in some building or under some bridge. People are so wounded and so hurt tonight. And if we could only understand that we have been commissioned to go out and search for the wounded.
Hallelujah.
You know, a soul is a soul.
Amen.
A pastor told me some time ago, he said, if I could go out and handpick everybody that I wanted to come to my church, I'd do that. I felt a cold chill run up my spine when he said that. Let me tell you, my friend, a soul is a soul. I don't care where you find that soul. It's a soul. It may be bound in a bundle of rags, but it's a soul that will never die. And we've been commissioned to go search for the wounded, to bring them a message of soul healing. Glory. The duty of the church. It means more than just coming to church. Now that is a must. You see, the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is.
Amen.
See, you get strength out of fellowship. I said, you get strength out of fellowship. And we should look at another scripture right quick. Like, I've dealt with a lot of things in my time of preaching. Paul simply said this: if your brother is overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. When that brother falls flat of his face in the mud, don't put your foot on the back of his neck and push him deeper in the mud. The Bible said, restore such a one. We need the message of restoration to restore people. To restore people. To bring people that once knew God back into communion and into fellowship with God. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. The message of soul restoration. To be restored. Hell, to have fellowship restored. Have it restored again. To have communion with God restored again.
Amen.
That's what I'm preaching about tonight. But the wounds, so many, broken hearts, young people going astray.
Amen.
The things they hear at school. Oh my God. Time to have a revival.
Right.
You know, time really changes the meaning of things.
Amen.
In my day, we bought blue jeans for $1.95. And we wore them until they wore holes in them. Then we patched them. And they faded. But now they pay $50 to $60 for a pair of blue jeans that's already faded.
Right. Amen.
And then they cut holes in them. That's the difference in my generation and in this generation. I saw a young woman walking down the street some time ago where I live. And she had on a pair of tight blue jeans. And she had holes cut in that pair of blue jeans. And some places she had holes cut, it was dangerous.
Yeah.
That's how generations will change. Back in my day, we didn't have a set of wheels to fly into the drive-in and get something in Speedway. We love God. We went to church. You know the reason all this is happening? People are trying to find satisfaction and they're going to the wrong place to try to find it. That's exactly what's happening. And let me tell you, you'll never know peace. You'll never know joy till you get the joy of the Lord in your heart. Until you get the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about tonight.
Amen.
Now, the devil will wound. Now, I'm going to get personal. A lot of our wounds are self-inflicted wounds.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
We can wound ourselves.
Amen.
I said we can wound ourselves. Did you know that we knew 63 years ago that it was injurious to the health of people to smoke, dip, or chew? And all of a sudden, they have just discovered that. And they said we didn't have no sense. We had more sense than they did.
Amen.
We knew this 63 years ago, and they're just now finding it out. You see, we can wound ourselves by the way we live.
That's right.
We can wound ourselves by sharp words that we speak.
Oh, yeah.
Some people will speak a word and say, if I only had it back, I wouldn't say it. The tongue is sharper than a sword. It cuts. It wounds. But thank God there's a healer tonight.
Yeah.
I said there's a healer tonight. And I preach this message all over the country. And I've had people that come to me, say, pray for so and so. They got offended in church. Somebody hurt their feelings and they're gone now. You know, we should always guard the words that we speak.
Amen.
I said guard the words that we speak. Now they say that smoking is injurious to your lungs. Then they put out Skoal They said, put that in your mouth and you're not smoking. That causes cancer of the mouth. Now you can see teenagers with the print of that skull box on those tight blue jeans. Let me tell you tonight, the Bible says, defile not the temple of God. That's what the Bible said. So we wound ourselves. We put wounds in our own body. Self-inflicted. I dealt with a woman in the church where I pastored. Her husband smoked himself to death. He did never come to church. She did. He never did come. And I would visit with him in the hospital. He'd hang up on the bed rail of that hospital bed and he'd cough until it seemed like every cough would be the last. He went home and I visited with him. He smoked himself to death. He died. Did you know that woman never did come back to church? She said, God took my husband and I never will come back again. She never did come back. God never had a thing to do with taking her husband. He took his own life. God never had a thing in the world to do with it. I was in a place one day having lunch and I looked across and there sat a young woman. Now she was a professional smoker. She knew how it was done. She had a cup of coffee and a cigarette. She would take a puff and draw it in. The smoke would lazily come out her nose and her mouth. Then she'd take another swallow of coffee. When she was ready to de-ash, she knew exactly how to do it. And I looked at her. Now I said, she thinks she's smoking. I said, she's not. The cigarette's doing the smoking. And she is only the sucker.
Amen.
You know, if a man or a woman never comes to church, it will pay to live a clean life.
That's right.
You'll live longer.
Amen.
We can wound ourselves.
That's right.
I said we can wound ourselves. And the duty of this local church. You don't have nothing to be ashamed of. Beautiful building. Good worship. Good singing. Padded pews. Wonderful pastor. You don't have anything to be ashamed of to invite your friends into this house. Hallelujah. Show compassion. Get baptized with the spirit of compassion.
Oh, grant it, Lord.
The spirit of compassion.
Right.
Go to where they are. If you came out and going to hear me tell a story of how I got delivered from alcohol and drugs, I have disappointed you. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never had a drug habit. I know nothing about it. I know nothing about drinks. Now, suppose at my age that I would decide suddenly to give up God and go to the world, where would I go? I wouldn't know where to go. There's a better way to live than to live in sin. There's a better way to die than to die in sin. Don't let anybody discourage you from living for God.
Amen.
A lot of people, they're envious. They'd like to have what you have.
That's right.
But they don't see where they can pay the price. But when they come and see what it's all about, no price is too great to live for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, what all I have to give up. But look what you get in return.
Amen.
I think I got the best of the trade. I really did. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I know nothing about the picture shows. I wouldn't know what show to go to, the movie stars. A lot of folks, they know all the movie stars and they don't know three books in the Bible. One fellow was so ignorant until he thought the apostles mad the epistles. So ignorant. So ignorant about everything. But thank God Jesus said, I have come on a mission. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free.
I've come to give you inward healing. I've come to give you a new heart. Praise God, praise God. You know, I preached on the day of depression. And I was preaching in a little frame church one time. And it needed to be painted. Now, I'm talking about the building. The building needed to be painted. The pastor said, Brother Gamblin, he said, if we can raise enough money to buy the paint, the men will paint the church. He said, I've got some scripture text Christian calendars. If you'll take these calendars and try to raise enough money to paint this church, the men will paint it. I got up that night. I said, now, we want to raise some money to paint the church, and I have a beautiful calendar. And if you will give an offering, I'll give you a calendar. Now, I said, if you don't have any money, if you'll come up here and say hallelujah five times, I'll give you a calendar. A man met me in the aisle that night. He said, this is my first Pentecostal meeting.
Oh, hallelujah.
He said, I wouldn't get up behind that pulpit and try to say hallelujah five times if you give me a box of calendars. He said, I can't do that. He said, that's what I want to ask you. He said, I notice when you get ready to say hallelujah, all you have to do is open your mouth and out it comes. He said, the people in the church, all they've got to do is just open their mouth and out comes the praise. He said, I don't understand that. He said, how did it happen? Well, I said, I had an operation. He said, you did? I said, yes, I did. He said, was it serious? Oh, yes. I said, it really was. I said, I had my heart took out. He said, you did. I said, yes, I did. He said, who did that? I said, the Lord. Oh, he said. I said, when the Lord took out the stony heart. And just before he slipped in the new one, he put a hallelujah machine right under my fifth rib. Now, all I've got to do to praise God, open my mouth, and that machine goes to work. Hallelujah. Thank God, and it works like that. Let me tell you, friend, when you get it on the inside, it's going to break out on the outside. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it will. Praise God. Praise God.
You're right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Inward healing. Anybody in this room tonight that's been wounded by the devil, or if you have self-inflicted wounds, however you've been wounded, I have a message for you.
Hallelujah.
Just a few more minutes. I want to go to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. That's a chapter of lost and found things.
Right.
Of lost and found things. There are three things that Jesus talked about in Luke 15.
Right.
The boy that left home, the sheep that strayed away, and the lost coin. Jesus was a great teacher. Now, if I can get these three parables over to you, you'll see what I've been trying to preach to you for the past few minutes.
Amen.
First of all, the Bible said, a man had 100 sheep, and one of those sheep strayed away.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, sheep must have a shepherd. I said, sheep must have a shepherd.
Right.
That man could have said, let the crazy thing go. I've got 99 left. That's enough. But he had the heart of a shepherd.
Oh.
I said he had the heart of a shepherd.
Right. That's right.
The Bible said he went out and he searched until he found this sheep. Now, the Bible does not tell me what condition, if it was injured or what, but I read this. The Bible said he took the sheep on his shoulder.
Hallelujah.
And came back to the fold.
Right.
When you leave the fold, you are exposed to the elements.
Amen.
There's weather, bad weather, hot sun, cold wind, rain, sleet, snow. The church is a safe place to live.
Hallelujah.
You know, when he laid that sheep on his shoulder and came home, he came home rejoicing.
Right.
He said, "Rejoice with me." The sheep that was lost is found. He went out searching, looking for the sheep. He didn't sit down and wait for the sheep to return on its own. He went out searching. I said he went out searching. Now the sheep strayed away. Then he taught about a woman that had 10 coins. Now, she was in her house, and she lost one of these coins in the house. I've always been bad about laying things down and never know where I put it. And I'd imagine you are afflicted with the same disease. And I'd always ask my wife, "Have you seen so-and-so?" Her answer was always the same. "It's right where you left it." I said, "What a revelation." I said, "You are so smart. If I knew where I left it, I wouldn't ask you in the first place. I'd just go pick it up." That's why you have to search. When you lose something, you search for it.
Right.
So this woman had 10 coins and she lost one in the house. But the Bible said she took a candle. She swept. She searched. She looked. She could have said, "Well, someday I'll find it. I still have 9 left." But that 10th one meant something to her, and she went searching.
Oh, hallelujah.
If this church tonight would leave this building and form a searching party,
hallelujah,
and go searching for the lost and the wounded and the bruised and the hurt, you talk, listen, you'd see the effect in your Sunday school Sunday morning. You wouldn't have to wait 3 months from now. You'd see it begin on Sunday morning. You've got a message in this church. You have a truth in this church. I said you had a truth in this church, and you ought to have a desire to let everybody be a partaker of what you have found so long ago.
Amen.
And she swept and searched until she found it.
Hallelujah.
Then she called her neighbors in, said, "Come rejoice with me. I found my lost coin." Listen. I know it's good to shout and worship and praise God, but listen, when babies are being born in the kingdom of God and the joy of the Lord fills the church, brother, let me tell you, that'll put you on shouting ground when nothing else will. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody said, "We've dealt with so-and-so for so long until we give him up." Uh-uh. Just keep on.
Keep on.
Just keep on keeping on. After a while, you're going to strike pay dirt. You're going to strike the old bug. Now notice, the sheep strayed away. The coin was accidentally lost. Will you take this in the spirit that I'm going to say it in? It's pitiful to be lost in the house. People attend a church. They will be lost in the house.
My Lord.
Lost in the house. I said lost in the house. She had a time of rejoicing. But the prodigal son, he deliberately walked away. He told his daddy, he said, "I want what belongs to me. I'm going out on my own." He did. Spent everything he had in righteous living. After a while, he came to the hog pen. He had nothing left.
Amen.
He had fair weather friends. As long as he paid the tab, he had the friends. If you've got friends and all they think about is what you've got and what you've given them, that's really not a friend. But when you have a friend that will swim the river with you, that's your friend. He deliberately walked away. But the Bible said he came to himself. That's what people ought to do tonight.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Is to come to themselves.
Right.
He saw a vision back home. There was Father and Father's house. food on the table, servants,
hallelujah,
clean beds, everything.
Amen.
He said, I'm going home to Father.
Right.
And it seems to me that Father had been looking for that son.
Hallelujah.
He said he saw him a long way off.
Oh,
and the Bible said he had compassion.
Yes.
He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Right.
He didn't say, you dirty brat, you spent everything you got. Now you come back as a tramp and a beggar. Get out of my house and leave and never let me see you again. That was not the attitude of the Father. That must not be the attitude of the church. The attitude of the church is to reach out and bring them in, regardless of the condition they're in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The sheep strayed away. The coin was accidentally lost. But the prodigal son deliberately walked away.
Right.
But they killed the fatted calf. A time of rejoicing.
Glory.
Time of rejoicing.
Right. Amen.
We need revival.
Amen.
We need souls saved.
Hallelujah.
And that's what I'm preaching about tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's what we're preaching about tonight.
Amen.
That's the mission of the church.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, we all go through our times of heartache, trouble.
Amen.
Listen, friend, in 63 years I've walked the path when stones hurt my feet. But I've got to keep walking. After being married nearly 60 years, my wife passed away. She was a preacher's wife. She was a wonderful woman. She passed on. I could be gone from home a week or two. And when I got home, this is how I was greeted. She would always say, I'm glad you're home. Now when I go home, I don't hear that. Empty. She was so much help to me. Empty. But it won't be long now. Listen. It won't be long now.
Hallelujah.
Until my feet are going to touch the streets of the New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
And when I do, I expect to see her standing there. I can hear her say, I'm so glad you're home.
Yeah.
Let's stand, will you, right now. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It is worth it all.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Listen, wherever I preach, I have to preach with a burden. And I'm going to ask for a song just softly. And I'm going to stand out here tonight. And I want you, whoever you are, if you've been wounded and hurt and you need to be healed inwardly, I want you to come, shake my hand. If you will, you can remain at the altar. Stand over here. If not, go back to your seat. And to you that are already saved, if you will come in somebody's stead, they're not here. But somebody you know that's been hurt or wounded, out of the church, away from God, or whatever the condition, if you'll just come and shake my hand and just tell me who it is, I want to take you on my prayer list as I leave this place in the morning.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm concerned about it.
Oh, yeah.
What has kept me preaching all these years? I could have done something else. But I love souls. I love humanity.
Hallelujah.
I love depraved, fallen humanity. I love the alcoholics. I love the drug abusers. I love men, though they're sinners. I wish I could lay my arms around the shoulders of all of the alcoholics and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. While we sing softly, will you come? If you have somebody that you want me to pray for, just come and come with you. Would you come right now? Thank you, Jesus.
Call me.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Howard Smith, I need prayer. I'm having trouble receiving the Holy Ghost. God.